Steve Dale back with you on WGN. And we have a very special guest in studio talking about something that might matter to you, particularly if you, in any way, shape, or form, have a business of your own. His name is Rick Lisnick, who's a relative of someone I've heard of. You are the clearly the younger, better-looking brother.
And, that's correct.
And much more intelligent brother.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Of the WGN political analyst, Paul Lisnick. In fact, speaking of politics, and we're not here to talk politics, which is a good thing, right?
Yes.
Yes. But I do want to remind people, Thursday, of course, is that debate. You know, you've heard about that, Rick?
Yes.
Yeah, between these two presidential candidate dudes. Well, at 7 o'clock, coverage starts as Chris Cuomo sets the stage for the night's big matchup. It's like a sporting match almost, right? And then at 8 o'clock, you could watch the CNN presidential debate simulcast on News Nation. That's what I'm getting to. You could then stay tuned as Dan Abrams, Elizabeth Vargas, and Leland Vittert all discuss and it'll be like a tennis match, back and forth, back and forth, back. What did you think? No, what did you think? What did you think? What did you think? But we all want to hear what they think, and you can. News Nation is on Xfinity Channel 223, DirecTV Channel 307, and Dish Channel 207, or you can join in at nn.com, as in newsnation.com. But we're here to talk with Rick Lisnick about something that happened to you. And when you called me about it after I heard about you were on WGN television, right?
Yes, investigative reporter.
Yeah, yeah. And it turns out that this is rampant. But explain first off what you do for a living.
Well, what I do is I sell diesel fuel to...
Oh, you're the guy I saw on the street with the bucket?
Is that how you do it? No, I sell big amounts of diesel fuel to construction companies and big trucking companies, and so it gets to be, an expensive proposition.
Yeah, I imagine, because of the cost of fuel,
yes,
in part. So you do that, and you do that as a small business company? I mean, is it just yourself, or is it you and thousands of employees?
No, there's a few employees, but most of it is done kind of like a broker, where you can go ahead and when I get an order, I'll call someone in their vicinity, a partner, and he'll go ahead and deliver the fuel.
Okay. So explain what happened.
Well, I got an order from a big trucking company who goes and is a broker themselves. They go and they take my fuel and sell it to different places around the United States.
Who knew this happened, that there were so many people in between the sales of fuel?
Well, yeah, it's a way of life. It's a way of business. But I kept getting orders from this company, and I took the order, and then I use a credit card.
Any other transaction. You don't have to say the name of the credit card, but no. It's like you would any other transaction that we make every day, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so for big numbers, because it's fuel. And I took the credit card, and I got an approval. Authorized.net is the company that Bank of America uses, and that was my bank.
Okay.
And not that I should say their name, but I just did.
You just did.
Yeah. Yeah. I got an approval. Uh-huh. So I sold the fuel. A few days later, they wanted more, got approval, sold them more. This mm-hmm. went on for 3 weeks until the sale reached $50,000.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. And then I got a call from Merchant Services from my bank, and they said, we're going to debit your account for $50,000 because you took a bad credit card.
Okay.
And I was extremely in peril on that. I didn't understand. First of all, they called it a chargeback, which I personally didn't know what a chargeback was. But a chargeback is when the original cardholder calls back and said, I never bought $50,000 of diesel fuel. I don't even buy diesel fuel.
And is that the truth in this case? What happened?
This poor guy, he lost his card, and a crook picked it up, who decided to call me, and that's what happens.
I want to stop you in midstream here because what happens to, in fact, this just, really, Rick, this just happened to us.
Yeah.
We got a charge on our credit card. We had no idea what it was for, so someone got our credit card number, right? This happens way too often to people. However, the credit card company said to us, it was only $16 or whatever it was, but the credit card company said to us, two things, we're going to stop your card, and we're going to issue another one, and said, we'll credit you that $16, don't worry about it. You got a very different response. The other side, the business, gets a very different response.
Well, I wish we would have got a response. We didn't even get a call from the bank when the cardholder immediately saw the first $26,000, or I'm sorry, $16,000, called the bank and said, I didn't buy this. What are you going to do? They said, well, the bank said, we're going to take you off this. Don't worry. You didn't buy it? You didn't buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Never called me up. So me, I'm going on and taking an order and taking the next order, you know, as I said, all the
with
way up to $50,000.
Bad card. And you had no idea it was a bad card.
No. And the bank could have called me and said, hey, that card you're using, tear it up. I didn't get the call until 3 weeks. Well, that's one of the things I'm wondering about. What?
Yeah.
That's what investigative reporting said. Why didn't you get a call? Why didn't they call you up? I don't know.
And it's not because you sell fuel. It could be that you were, that you have a small business on a corner somewhere. It could be that you're running a business out of your house of any kind. It has nothing to do with the kind of business it is. So, in other words, if let's say you're a store and someone makes a purchase and it's a fraudulent purchase, that store doesn't get reimbursed like the person gets reimbursed who loses his card or whose card number is stolen.
Correct. That's 100% correct. So, say a jewelry store sells jewelry and takes the credit card and gets it approved, and the crook wants to buy more rings or yeah. more necklaces. Well, the jewelry store is like, well, card keeps getting approved. Let's go.
Yeah.
And this goes on and on until someone figures out that the card's bad. And it's going to be the original cardholder who lost the card.
But that original cardholder gets reimbursed for that jewelry cost.
That's correct.
That jewelry store, you're saying, is not getting reimbursed.
No, no.
Well, something is wrong.
Yeah. And the crook who has the jewelry, he doesn't have to worry one bit.
Well,
I want to
find that out. It turns out there's an interesting twist to the story that the crooks are protected.
Yes.
And I want to talk. It's crazy. Who knew? I had no idea. I want to talk about that when we come back. Rick Lisnick is in the studio, and we're talking about a very specific kind of credit card that turns out to be something I never even thought about. Do most small merchants or many small merchants know about it? Because sadly, it has affected them. I mean, I'm sure there's no data on this, but what's your sense of that?
Well, the people I speak to...
I mean, you can't
be
alone.
No. This happens. The police said it happens. The detective said it happens.
All right, so when you went to the police, what did the police say to you? Can they do anything about it?
Nothing.
Yeah.
They said this is so rampant that they don't... That's the thing. Nobody goes after the crook. It's just too many of them.
Hmm.
So the police do not have the ability to pursue this. They just don't.
So the bank must know in some cases, or maybe they don't. You'll have to explain this to me. Who then issued the credit card, who the bad guy was, where the credit card came from, or don't they know? And if they do know, why aren't they telling the authorities?
They have no idea who the crook was. Matter of fact, the crook might not even be in the United States. He could be anywhere in the world.
Or she.
Or she. Yeah. And they have software that makes it look like they're in Chicago when they're really in India.
Hmm.
So you can't even tell from tracing the phone or tracing, you know, the call. They have this thing perfected to a T. So no, the bank doesn't know who this is. The other thing is authorized.net says
explain what that is.
That's how I get my credit card approved. That's the...
Is that common for small businesses to use?
Yeah, that's how you get it approved.
Mm-hmm.
They want a copy of a photo ID. They want a driver's license. They want a copy of the credit card front and back. They wanted a receipt showing I delivered the fuel, an invoice from my supplier because, you know, my supplier is the one who I have to pay now because they're not out. I'm out. And nobody knows who took it, but they go on and on and on and go the next one and the next one and the next one.
How do they get these credit card numbers? Do you know?
There's a machine that does it, and also they find stolen credit cards. But there is a some type of a digital machine that's able to do this, from now, what I understand.
Now, several years ago, the credit card company said, oh, we've got an idea to prevent this from happening, general credit card theft, and that is to add that three-digit code. Does that do anything?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The three-digit code, the address, the name on the card, none of it does anything. There's no insurance. There's no way to get around this. The merchant is the one that's going to have this problem, and they're going to lose the money, and they're going to lose the money until the credit card original owner finds out what's going on and calls the bank and says, hold it, stop, get me out of this.
Well, it could be a series. So, I mean, in theory, couldn't it be a restaurant and then the dry cleaner and then somebody like you and then another business and another business and another business? And by the time the trail finally ends, it's lots of spending in lots of places?
Yes. Yes. It happens to restaurants. It happens.
It's got to happen to restaurants all the time.
Oh, it does. It does.
Is that why some restaurants are now, do you think, charging, and maybe a restaurateur will text us. Is that why some restaurants, do you think, are charging now extra money if you pay by credit card?
That's exactly why they are.
Really?
Yeah, they got to get it from somewhere.
So it's not the credit card fees themselves so much, it's all this theft that's been going on?
That's right. Well, fees too, I assume, but it's the theft. Hmm. It's the theft.
That we don't even know about. People don't, I mean, I knew nothing about this. Do you find that, except for small business owners who probably do know about it, especially if it's happened to them, that the general public doesn't know?
Well, that's why I'm here. Yeah. I don't think the general public knows. Everybody's afraid for themselves. My wife gets calls all the time, just like you may have gotten that call and that $16 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But we get calls for $20. You get calls for $100. And the bank's real good to you. And the credit card company's real good to the people that own the cards. But the entities that sold product, they're out their product. They are completely out their product. My bank just went into my account, took the $50,000, and then called me and said, you're probably going to see there was a debit. Let me explain what that is. And as I'm listening to it, I'm getting weaker and weaker in the head.
Yeah.
You know, wait a minute. You took the $50,000 out. Explain this to me again. What? How did I lose this?
What gives them the right to do that?
You know, this is what I'm trying to find out. And I'm even going to go to my senator.
Yeah.
And I can't understand how they could just go in and grab this money.
Well, you know, I think anyway, and it'll be spoken about, I'm sure, Thursday at some point in the presidential debates, that both candidates, here's something they both agree on, I suspect, President Biden and former President Trump, our nation is built on small businesses.
Yes, it is.
And we are harming our small businesses by allowing this to happen. But no one wants it to happen. And if it's happening from nations that you may never have heard of in Africa, individuals that are doing this to people, how does our government protect people with the credit card as well as those small businesses?
You know, I haven't come up with a solution.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I figured you would.
No, I haven't come up with a solution. But what I have come up with is going on and doing business in the future. I mean, it's a scary proposition. And now when somebody calls and gives me an order and it's a new customer, I take so much information. And when at the end of the day, after I find out his birthday and his name.
But is that really going to matter?
Doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
His code on the car. And matter of fact, when I talk to my partners and they ask me, okay, so give me your card number, give me the code on the back. Inside, I'm laughing because I'm thinking, you think you have all this information that's going to protect you. It's meaningless.
Well, it protects that person, but it's not protecting you, right?
Well, it's not protecting the merchant who's taking that information.
Right, right.
They think they're protected because they've got the driver's license, you know, and they have everything. It doesn't make it – they're not protected at all.
Do you think the bank ought to protect you? Who ought to protect you?
Well, it's my opinion. I would say the bank. Maybe they need to be insured for this. Maybe the federal government needs to talk with the banks and help them. But what's happening here, I mean, 90% of the bank's customers are small businesses. I mean, money-wise, you know.
Sure.
And they're killing their small business customers. And at the same time, I don't know, there's nothing they can do because this just keeps happening rampant.
I suspect more and more rampant. We have several texts here. One really good question that I didn't think of asking you, where did the diesel fuel end up going?
Well, this guy was a broker too, this trucker. So he went and delivered to a bunch of yards and said, I have great diesel here. I have clear diesel and I can give you 60% off, 70% off. Well, everybody grabbed it. They said, my tank's in the back, fill it up. Fill up as much as you can. Well, this guy had customers coming out of it, like carrier his pills. He kept coming back to me and saying, I need more. There's such a, you know, a desire for this, such a need. And I said, okay, let's keep going. I thought I had a great thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he wasn't paying me, although I didn't know that. I thought I was getting paid. And he was getting, I don't know, 20% on the dollar, 40% on the dollar. So customers for him were real easy to obtain.
Another text, if these are people that could have been out of the country, why isn't the FBI involved in this if it happens as often as you say it does?
Well, apparently the police told me that nobody has the time and there's no way to figure this out. You can't possibly figure out where the crook is, what country he's in. You can't figure anything out, even the feds.
What did you ask the bank? When you, I suspect you ultimately did actually have a conversation, right? And you mentioned it, right?
Well, the conversation really happened after I appeared on the WGN show. That's when all of a sudden people came out of the woodwork and called me and went, it comes to my attention, Mr. Lisnick, that you have a problem. You're not very happy with our bank. And I went, it's 4 months later after the chargeback. You're calling me now and you're finding out.
Okay, so
I know why they were calling me. They were calling me because they just saw the episode on WGN.
All right, but at least you got the call. What did they say? Did they give you back the money?
No.
Right.
No. They weren't. They just said, this is the way it is. We're not responsible. And Authorize.net said, just because the word authorize is in our name, don't think that when we give you an approval that means anything. It means nothing.
Hmm.
It's just in our name. Authorizes in our name. And that was said on WGN TV too.
All right, so we have 1 minute here. What would you like to see happen?
Well, I'm not going to say that I wouldn't want my money back, but at this point, it doesn't look like that's going
to
happen.
Well, to you personally, yes. And what a bigger picture, though?
Bigger picture, I'm here because I would like a lot of small businesses to understand before it happens to them that it's going to happen to them. Like I said, the police said it's rampant, so I didn't think it would happen to me, especially not for $50,000.
Couple texts here saying, you're right, it happened to me, and I'm stuck.
That's right. And you are stuck, and there's no way to get unstuck, and I'm proof because I'm going on every single media I can possibly get into. Magazines, articles, everywhere I can go, different states, I'm trying to get the word out.
Okay. Well, you did hear.